A reading from the book of Genesis. After the man Adam had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you that you are naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel." The man called his wife Eve, because she became the mother of all the living. The word of the Lord.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
The Lord has made his salvation known in the sight of the nations. He has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the Beloved. In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Are we willing to let it be done to us according to the word of God? Are we willing to let that happen to us? As Mary was willing to do, regardless of the temporal cost that would bring about to her in her earthly sojourn in this life. For actually, and this is the reason why she is celebrated as the queen of all saints, as the greatest of all saints, because she willingly aligned her will with God's will without exception. That's what a saint is. When a saint, a person surrenders all to the Lord. We hear St. Paul say it this way, "It is no longer I who am living, but it is Christ living in me." Now, of course, our challenge is greater than Our Lady's. She was given the singular grace, not only from the time she was conceived, before she was conceived in her mother's womb, from the time God thought of her, it was preordained that she would be chosen as the mother of his son, his who would become flesh in the fullness of time, but also she was preserved from any stain of original sin. This was a singular grace given to her. When you and I acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, for we are, it doesn't mean that we are bad people. It means we are not perfect people. Mary was given the same grace that our first parents that we hear read in the first reading from the book of Genesis. Both Adam and Eve were created without sin. They were immaculate. And yet, this solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary has so many misconceptions around it. That being one, that if Mary was conceived without sin, then somehow she's equal to God. But that's not the case. We see Adam and Eve were not equal to God. They were created like God, just as you and I are created to the image and likeness of God. That's one of the lies that the serpent proposed to them. He knows that if you eat from that tree and that fruit in particular, you will be like him. Well, he was lying, and Adam should have called him on it. But Adam was like, you know, he was like a dumb dog at a time when he should have been barking and carrying on like a crazy man, defending his wife from this serpent's approaches. But it went the way it went. And you notice that it was after the man, after Adam ate, that God came and says, where are you? Where were you? I was afraid. I hid myself. Isn't that something about sin? One of the primary effects that sin realizes in our life in relationship to God is that we fear God. I believe that's one of the reasons why so many people have fallen away from the faith, that they don't attend Mass anymore. It's not that they don't believe in God. No. It's because they fear God, because they want to live as they want in relationship to God, knowing that what they are choosing to do is directly in opposition to the divine will, to the way that God has revealed to us that truly is the recipe, or if you will, the prescription for the happy life, the blessed life, reasonably so in this world gone wrong in sin, and that which will be supremely realized in the life of heaven. I really think that that's really what it comes down to. Most people fear God because they are choosing to befriend their sins. They want to do what they want to do in opposition to the Lord. But there's no reason to fear the Lord. If we truly are looking after and striving after that which alone can satisfy us, and that is the life that God gives and wants us to have in abundance. Mary said yes to this invitation, but not without asking questions that faith will ask. How is this going to come to pass? God, very much aware of her question and how this would be such an overwhelming thing for her to be presented with, has instructed Gabriel to give her a little bit more. And when we hear Gabriel say, "For nothing will be impossible for God," that is a doctrine of the revelation of God that most of us either disregard or have forgotten. But Mary, she embraced that. She understood that. She accepted that from the beginning. From her earliest years, she had the conviction and belief that for God, nothing is impossible. Even, yes, awakening the womb of Elizabeth, who was advanced in years, so that she could receive a child, that child being John the Baptist, who would herald the great King, the Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ. The name Jesus meaning God saves. The other misconception associated with this solemnity of the Immaculate Conception is that Mary did not need a Savior if she would have been conceived without sin. And again, this is simply not the case. In fact, it's debunked, because when we go from this scene to the next scene where she's moving in haste to visit with her first cousin Elizabeth, she is greeted. She greets Elizabeth. Elizabeth is astonished. "How is it you come to me, the mother of my Lord? For the moment your greeting sounded in my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed that what was spoken to her by the Lord would be fulfilled." Mary, magnifying God, says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God," get ready for it, "my Savior." It doesn't sound like a woman who's not in need of a Redeemer. She was fully aware of her lowliness, and she was overjoyed with the commissioning that she received by God, the role that she was to play in bringing this gospel to the world. And so for you and I today, the same question is before us. Are we willing to say yes to God's word being done in our lives as He wills, in every circumstance, in any situation, regardless of what we have in mind all the time? Holiness of life is one simple yes away. We always have an opportunity to say yes to the will of God. I don't know how many of you have ever taken it upon yourself to do the total consecration to Jesus Christ through Mary according to the method of St. Louis-Marie de Montfort. I have done it. I did it for the first time back in my seminary years, and I've continued to do it annually every year in conjunction with the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And the final day of the preparation is entitled Participate in the Life of Christ. This is what St. Louis de Montfort says in the writing The Secret of the Rosary, paragraph number 65. He states the following: the chief concern of the Christian should be to tend to perfection, be faithful imitators of God as His well-beloved children, the great apostle tells us. St. Gregory of Nyssa makes a delightful comparison when he says that we are all artists and that our souls are blank canvases which we have to fill in. The colors which we use are the Christian virtues, and the original which we have to copy is Jesus Christ, the perfect living image of God the Father. Just as a painter who wants to do a lifelike portrait places the model before his eyes and looks at it before making each stroke, so the Christian must always have before his or her eyes the life and virtues of Jesus Christ, so as never to say, think, or do anything which is not in conformity with his model. I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Are we willing to say yes to God's initiative, God's call to holiness? For to acknowledge that we are sinners is not to say that we are bad people. It's simply an acknowledgement that we are not perfect people. Perfection is God's work. This life of grace that we've received by virtue of baptism is a participation in the life of Christ, which realizes that perfection, which Mary gives us a preview of what God desires for all of us. God love you.